Welcome to Loosma Podcast. I'm Charles Loosma. I'm going to answer an email that I got here on podcast. I'm going to skip to the meat of it, the cut to the chase. On your Instagram account, I saw photos of a shoot with Lauren Hurlbut in the canyons / desert. Is this published somewhere or otherwise visible? I am planning to do a somewhat comparable shoot on Lanzarote in the beginning of next year. I would love to get some ideas and inspiration from it. And I wrote back and I said, what did I say? I said, it's not published in its entirety anywhere, although most of the pictures that I have from that shoot are on Instagram. But it's not. I don't have a link that I could send him, which I wish I did. And so he responded and said, what a shame it's not published. And so his idea is to try to make his shoot along the lines of the ones that I did with Lauren, poses, composition, etc. And he says that since it's one of my first shoots, I wanted to work along some established lines, and then he would allow himself some creativity to, I guess, do whatever he wanted. But it's this last part that I'm responding to, which he says, and I quote, maybe I'm pushing too much, but maybe you could happen to have a Flickr account where you could post the series, or even a Dropbox if that is possible. As you can see, I'm very eager to see them. Well, Frank, this one's for you. I don't know what to say, really. That's generally my reaction, is I don't know what to say, though that's not true. When I say I don't know what to say, it's really more that I am thinking about how do I say it so that I don't offend people. I do know what to say. I just don't know how to say it. That's really what I'm really trying to say. So how do I say this and break it down and also in nuts and bolts way? Let me just get straight to it. My gut reaction, and you guys have heard this already before, is that I don't like that you are thinking about someone else's shoot when you're trying to do your own shoot. That's the premise of what I'm about to say. And it's very simple to me. I think that in the world that we live in, and this was I just heard this on podcast on the Nerdist podcast that Chris Hardwick did when he interviewed Jeremy Irons. He was saying, they were talking about how there's just so much noise in the world. It's really hard to turn down the noise. And sometimes you got to go to a place where it's just, I think Jeremy Irons went to, like, I want to say it was like Mongolia or something like that, where it's just like white out conditions, just white and no internet, nothing. And it takes going to a place that just has no noise at all whatsoever to really listen to your own voice. Of course, I've said that before, and not that it's my own idea or anything, but that I second that to no ends. I think that it's, for us, especially in the society with Instagram, everything that we do, I think it's really easy for us to get distracted and to be pulled in some other direction than what we want to do. So that's one of the reasons why I think, one of the reasons why I will tell people don't look at inspiration. You know, I think you're looking in the wrong places for inspiration. You're looking for inspiration outside of yourself when you ought to be looking for inspiration within yourself. And I understand maybe he's nervous. This is maybe one of his, like he said, it's his first, one of his first shoots. And I think what he meant was it's one of the first ones that I'll be doing out there. I don't think it's one of the first shoots that he's ever done. Otherwise, it'd be quite a ambitious endeavor to go all the way out there just to do this specific shoot. But assuming that I understand him correctly, which is that he's going out there and this is going to be one of the first days that maybe he's shooting out there and he wants to just get stuff that is very safe. I get it. You know, I get that you don't want to disappoint people. I get that I can't answer this question without doing what I do. Okay. I can't keep answering questions. Okay. Let me just take a step back. I can't keep justifying for why you guys keep making mistakes, or for why you guys want to do it wrong, okay? It's very hard for me. Look, my life, when I go through my own life, it's really fucking hard. You know why? Because I have to hold myself back. I really can't say what I want to say, and I can't tell people that they're doing it wrong. Because in real life when we live and we just go to the mall and watch people, for example, I was watching people eat at the mall food court, and there was a family of four and everybody was on their phone. I can't go up and tell them, hey, maybe you guys should talk to each other. Because the reality is, if I play God and I make them talk to each other, I might fuck things up even worse. So in real life for me, it's really hard for me to not be opinionated and not talk about the way that I think things should be. But this is not, in some strange way, this is not real life. When I'm talking to you about these things, I'm just telling you how I've seen it and I've done it, and you guys can take what you guys want from it and run with it. And I'm tired of trying to look at it from your perspective. I get it. Your perspective is what you're looking at it from. And I've been there before, but I really want you to follow along so that I don't have to keep wasting my breath and talking about how once upon a time I did this and it was wrong and I understand where you're coming from. The truth is, just follow along with me and just for 1 second, just suspend your disbelief and just let me say it how I see it. And maybe that's just how it's going to be from now on, because it's hard for me to have to always double back and make sure that people aren't butthurt about what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to be mean, and I shouldn't even have to say that. But the truth is, when you do it for a certain way for a little while and you see what's going on, you gotta be able to see the forest from the trees. And when you can see the forest from the trees, you can't see the trees anymore. Or you do see the trees, but you gotta realize that it's not just trees. All right, enough fucking philosophy. Let me get to the point. Point is, you gotta stop. You gotta stop with this inspiration nonsense. You gotta stop with also that you think that you're not gonna get good stuff. You know, as long as this isn't your first shoot, this is like, at least you're kind of a seasoned photographer. I'd expect you to go out there and do what you do. Right? What you do doesn't change regardless of who you are, does not change regardless of where you are, what light you're working with, what model you're working with, or who you're shooting. So if that's true, then you shouldn't go to a slot canyon such as the one that I went to with Lauren and be out of place or feel intimidated or be like, I don't know how to make this work, or feel like, oh no, I don't know if I can get something good. Like, light is light. It doesn't matter where you are and what's behind you. And this is what I've always taught in the workshops, is you should be able to walk to any spot, any place, and work that spot. Small as it is or big as it is, you have to be able to shoot anywhere, anytime, any place with anyone. And so when I teach these workshops, it's about the thought process. It's not about you know, specific step-by-step formulas, right? I hesitate to use the word formula because, you know, an algorithm or a program is somewhat formulaic, but that's not what I'm saying. I don't like it when people ask me for 1, 2, 3, you know, or, you know, what angle and what light and what distance and what power and what aperture and what shutter speed and what ISO. Like, that to me demonstrates a lack of true thought process, true critical thinking. It demonstrates to me that you really don't know what you're doing, but you're referencing a set of instructions so that you can skate by, so that you can get away with really not knowing what you're doing. And that isn't going to serve you in the long term, which is why I'm getting to this. This is my encouragement for people to get away from looking at other people's stuff, figuring it out on your own. And if you're going to look at other people's stuff, you know, do it gently. Don't use it as a kind of a shot list of a step-by-step. You know, look at it in terms of, break it down. Look at why they did it that way. What did they do? What's behind? Like, what's in the background? What kind of depth of field is it? You know, and what what kind of lighting, what kind of pattern, lighting pattern is it? And then to archive that in some sort of general manipulatable memory bank so that you can take that information and then access it, but then also apply it in different situations, because you're not going to find the same light anywhere. I can't find the same light if I go to the same place twice. It's very unlikely. Outside of a studio situation, if you go to the same studio and work with the same lights and you have full control, 100% control over everything inside, and you shoot the same thing, you know, even a model will look different on two different days. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it is unreasonable to think that even if you're given a sequence of instructions, that you would be able to duplicate the output or the final product. So I'd rather you not. I'd rather you focus on how do you arrive at these conclusions with a very well thought out process, so that you don't get stuck trying to, like, oh no, it's cloudy instead of sunny, now what do I do? Or, oh no, my model has dark skin tones instead of light skin tones, now what do I do? See, those should never throw you for a wrench if you have a good set of processes, however you want to say it. I say it both ways sometimes. And so when I think about, like, when I go on location, for example, here's a random example. I went out to the rocks out in Topanga Canyon that I shoot at regularly, and regularly being like a couple times a year at most. And when I got there, I didn't really like the model, to be honest with you. She was just very aloof, very not very personable. It was strange considering what I thought was someone who's very energetic, and at least from her pictures, that's how she came across. But anyway, that's beyond the point. The point is, when I got there, I couldn't find the typical locations that I tried to that I would usually shoot. One of the reasons, or the primary reason, being that there was a downed tree that I didn't realize had fallen, and it had kind of changed the landscape, and actually rerouted us to walk around in a much farther and different way than I would normally walk, thereby bypassing many of the locations that I, or the places that I would normally shoot. Now, all that being said, rocks are rocks, dude. Like, rocks don't really look that much different from one rock to another, especially in the same set of place. Like, it's the same location. I'm not going from like Yosemite to Valley Fire. I'm in the same area or the same vicinity, so the rocks really don't look that much different. Now, that being said, maybe some of the slot canyons that I'm shooting at these rocks, maybe they're more narrow, maybe they're wider, maybe some allow for a little bit more direct sunlight, some, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There are differences, right? I mean, I can try to minimize, or I can try to put down the differences. Yes, certainly, you know, the rocks are mostly the same color, mostly the same size. And then there's little variances of light and size and whatever here and there. And so that didn't throw me off. In fact, actually, that allowed me to find a new spot that I normally wouldn't shoot. Now, is that a better spot than the spots that I normally shoot? I don't know yet. I mean, I'll have to look at everything and then kind of form that conclusion when the time comes. But the point is, if I had to rely on one specific spot in order to generate that specific look, and then I couldn't get there because of a downed tree being in my path, I'd freak out. I'd basically be upset and be like, oh no, what am I going to do? I can't get to the spot. And then I would show it, then the model would know, and then she, not being personable already, would be like, okay, this guy obviously doesn't know what he's doing. She's going to lose all faith in me. I'm going to lose her confidence, and I'm going to be nervous, and things are going to get worse than they already are. So, I mean, it's just I'm not making this up. This is not I'm not just pulling this out of a hat. Like, this is a plausible outcome. Like, genuinely, you have to understand, when models don't feel like you know what you're doing, they lose faith in you. And, you know, so like the way we come across is very important. Like our confidence, our ability to captain the ship, you know, and to make sure that the shoot is going well is really, really important for how we generate good pictures and how do we keep the confidence of the model. So, I mean, that is really a tangent on the subject matter here, which is really that you really shouldn't be looking at other people's stuff. I don't know how else to say it. Like, you gotta find it. You have to discover it for yourself. And it just has all sorts of tangents. Of course, one being what I just said, you're gonna lose the confidence of your model if some hiccup happens to your 1-2-3 set of instructions. The other thing that is huge, and I've talked about this probably to no ends, but you're never gonna find your own style trying to copy other people's style. You'll never know who you are when you're trying to be someone else. And I know it sounds so fucking cliche to say that, but there just is no other way to fucking say it. Just do you, figure out what you like. Like, here's an example. Yesterday I was talking on Instagram to a really cool architect, and his architecture is exactly the type of houses that I've always loved shooting in. Like that unfinished house out in Malibu. I think I called it the ice house. That's right. The ice house down in Newport Beach that I shot that one time. Very modern, very white walled, studio-esque, you know, a lot of glass, big windows, lots of light, that kind of stuff. So like I met an architect on Instagram and we started chatting, and I was looking through his feed and I was like, dude, I would die to shoot in any of these places. And it happened. He's like, dude, you're welcome. He's like, you're welcome to come over and shoot at my house. And I was like, oh, what does it look like? And he showed me pictures. I was like, dude, totally. Because it has all the geometry, has all the lines, has all the light, has the white walls and everything, right? So that's my cup of tea. And that's what I gravitate to. And that's what I've always done, at least throughout. Anytime I could get it, you know, I mean, if I can't get it, that's another story. But if I can, and if I have the option to, then I would always shoot at a place like that, because there's something about that geometry and the architecture that I love. And I admitted to, I'm like, you know, in another life, I could have been an architect. I think I would have had a lot of fun doing so, and that started another conversation about liability and whatnot. But it was interesting. But all that being said, the point is that if I didn't gravitate towards that stuff, if I didn't try to shoot that stuff because I liked it, then that conversation would have never happened. Like I would have never, I don't know, I don't know if I remember how we got into touch with one another, but there was a time during last year when Keith was working with me still that I had him go and find architects that did this stuff, that had houses that were cool, that were like the ones that I'd like to shoot, like the Ice House or like the I think it's the Lautner. It's not the Lautner Goldstein house. I think it's the grandson of, it's Eric, I'll look for it and I'll put it in the description. But we did a workshop out there and just anyway, all the geometry, the lines, the design, like I had Keith go and look up architects who had access to those kinds of houses and then try to buddy up with them, because I wanted to shoot in places like that. And that's just me being me. I want to do that, right? But if I weren't me, and if I weren't able to really be confident about, okay, this is what I want to shoot, and if I were just looking at other people's Instagrams, and I'd be chasing the, you know, you want to do things by design. I think it's a lot harder when you're just kind of chasing the byproduct of things, given what you see on Instagram or given what is the trend or what is the flavor of the week, you know, if like it's easy to just take what other people do and just copy that, but nobody will ever recognize that that's what that style is. Like when they see that style, even when you copy it, they're just going to associate that with the originator of that style. For example, Terry Richardson, or for example, the one I like a lot is Dave Hill for his surrealistic, Lucis art inspiring, look, and the way he lights, the way that it's retouched. But anyway, I mean, it doesn't matter if you guys don't know that reference. I'll put up a description and or I'll put up a link so that you guys can see that style in the description. But yeah, nobody will ever know that that's you. They'll just think that it's you copying the originator, right? So it's way better for you to try to figure out what you're all about. And like when I think about when I put out pictures on Instagram, I think that just by sheer pose, certainly where it's shot, you know, the background, a lot of it shot in my studio, but just the pose and also the look and the shot selection and also maybe the coloring. And I think just in general, I think a lot of those things just really scream me. And for that reason, I think it's easy for people to pick out my images in the ocean of random Instagram pictures online. And I do think that's how it should be, because I think you ought to be so intrinsically different that because you are competing in a platform such as Instagram for attention, that everybody is looking at hundreds of pictures and then they have to be able to see yours and like yours, right? And then also be able to recognize that that's your imagery. Which is also ultimately what becomes your calling card, your blueprint, your fingerprint, your identification, the thing that you do that other people want you to do for them, right? So ultimately, it doesn't do you any good when you're trying to be someone else. And again, I know I said that I wouldn't do this earlier, but I can't, I have to say this, but I understand when you're starting out that it's, You're supposed to copy other people, right? You're supposed to learn how to light the way other people light, because that is a general good rule of thumb. If you follow good photographers and, you know, you learn their tricks and you learn their style, and then ultimately you try to manipulate that style and adapt it, maybe evolve it to something that is more specifically you, that speaks more truly to yourself and your style. I get it. There's no... learning requires that you first do what other people do and then do the rules. Learn the rules. You can't break the rules unless you know the rules. So I get it. I am all for learning things by the book first. But I think that most of you guys need to be weaned off of the bottle and weaned off of Instagram, weaned off of flipping through inspiration and looking for stuff in magazines and stuff, because it's all that you know now. You don't know how to do it any other way, and maybe it's a fear of putting your look. I still struggle with that fear today. I'm still struggling with opening myself up. I'm one of those guys who hides easily behind the lens and doesn't want to really get involved. I don't really put as much of myself out there. You don't see pictures of myself. You don't see me really interacting with models. You just see my pictures, and really that's all I let speak for me. But there's some part of me that is afraid too of maybe putting myself out there more, or for you guys to understand or try to or know who I am on a more intimate level. I do have that fear of intimacy, and maybe that's my own stylistic war that I have to fight and that I have to overcome. Okay, that's great. But at least from an imagery style perspective or point of view, I think I'm doing that more true to form, true to my own ways of doing things. I've gotten rid of makeup artists, stylists, all these unnecessary people that I don't need on set. I don't need assistance. All I need is someone who is comfortable being in front of the camera with me, and I can do pretty much 95 to 99% of what I want to do. And of course that my style is perhaps geared towards that very solo, very one-on-one type interaction, and I don't want the additional help and additional eyeballs, additional inputs. And so maybe my style has evolved really to be how do I say this? It is complete without other people. It is not devoid of additional input. It is complete without additional input. And that's just how I've come to be. And so maybe that is part of it, is trying to shore up the weaknesses of not having, say, a makeup artist, right? And then adding that makeup component into my process. But then part of it is also that maybe it's better when I don't have a makeup artist, because I don't have to satisfy their need of having close-up beauty shots and whatever, and then have to shoot it a certain way if it's a wardrobe stylist or you know, et cetera, hairstylist. The process and the evolution of the process is sometimes by design and sometimes by need and sometimes by sheer trying to overcome certain deficiencies, right? And again, and this is not the podcast where I talk about that, but just to give you a little bit of insight and idea of how I come to create this thing where, you know, most of my pictures I don't need anybody else to do. I just need one model, and so I've tried to really dumb down the process. In some ways, it's trying to get to the core of it, which is all I need is a model. And tried to also strip down the inefficiencies and the difficulties and the challenges that make that process difficult. Because if it takes me five people or a team of five to be able to get any shoot together, well, there are five ways that can go wrong versus one, which is already bad enough, being that the models generally are somewhat unreliable. And when I say somewhat unreliable, what I really mean is they're somewhat really fucking flaky. So, anyway, that's just another example of how to adapt and to evolve and to create from within, and rather not to try to do things. See, like I didn't look at someone else's style and say, oh, you know, how do they do that? And then if I need a makeup artist or hairstylist or wardrobe stylist to be able to facilitate that effort, I looked at my style and I was like, well, how do I shoot more, right? And how do I shoot more frequently? And how do I make it so that I don't have to satisfy so many different opinions and so many different agendas? And so from that, I was like, well, what can I do by myself? What am I capable of? Okay, I'm capable of shooting and retouching. Okay, that's not bad. I'm capable of sourcing my own models. I have agencies and Instagram. Okay, I got that. Now, what else do I need? Okay, I need a few clothes. Well, maybe I don't need that many clothes because, you know, I like to shoot nudes. Great. Okay, so it's going to be minimally styled. How about locations? Well, really, ideally, that's one of my huge deficiencies, is I would love to shoot in classier, nicer places, but for the reasons of shooting nudes and also because of my own personality being kind of scared to shoot in public, I don't like having all these eyeballs on me in general, even if I'm shooting clothed. My locations are harder to come by because they have to be so remote. But okay, fine. So then just go on Google Maps and we're going to start looking at places, and we're going to start looking at places other people have been, but find the spots that I can shoot within those places that are really, really remote. Okay, once you've got that, then you're looking at, okay, say makeup. Okay, makeup I can do maybe digitally with Photoshop, but then it's even better if I can do it in real life, right? At least to a limited extent. How about hair? Well, hair, I do like hair generally flowy, natural, you know, something that most girls can manage by themselves. Okay, we're okay with that. So, you know, it's a long laundry list of things that I'm trying to strip down to looking at what I can do by myself, because that's my style and what I like to do. But then also, what is it that I absolutely need? Well, I can't do this by myself without a model. That's absolutely certain. Like, I need a subject, and that's, at the end of the day, what I have to be able to find a model, right? So it can only be as simplistic down to the nitty gritty or the nuts and bolts of having a model, having me, a camera, a location, basic makeup, basic wardrobe, and then I have to retouch it. That's basically what I do. Anyway, I don't want to harp on the matter because I do have to run. But think about it. Think about how you would do this if you didn't know if anybody else had ever been there. Because I think that's way more liberating than to follow someone else's and follow in someone else's footsteps. Go there and do it the way you would do it if you were exploring and seeing it for the first time. And then have the confidence to be able to put something out there that is intrinsically you without the influence of others. That's the road I want you to take. Gotta go. Peace.